Welcome to I Run Radio. Coming up, sharing the journey with the men and women in uniform.
It's more than just running. It's really the camaraderie, the fact that we can see each other supporting our troops.
A cancer survivor runs his first half marathon.
Every couple of meters, there was another little cheering section. Hey, Johnny. Hey, Beth. This is fantastic. Go for it. And I even had a little cheering section about 5K into the race, which just provides you with such a tremendous energy boost. It was not only from the people cheering for others, because they're cheering everyone as they go by, but then your own little group of a half dozen or so cheering you on. It was just remarkable.
And a little advice from an Olympic marathoner.
Everyone can get a cookie-cutter plan, but when things go a little bit wrong and you have to deviate from that plan, it's like, what do you do? And that's where a coach can come most in handy and be most valuable to people to kind of be able to maintain that consistency. And when the consistency is the biggest thing for anyone in endurance sport to improve.
On this edition of I Run Radio, we'll talk to a couple of runners who ran in last weekend's Army Run, including a member of Parliament and a cancer survivor. And Olympic marathoner and running coach Dylan Wykes will join us with some advice. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of I Run, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey.
Congratulations on your performance in the Army Run, because you had a fantastic time, even faster than you thought you were going to be, right?
Yeah, well, thanks. I mean, that means a lot. You know, I've been training pretty good, and it's a wonderful thing, because I sort of wasn't training that much, and I went on a long run, you know, 6-7 weeks ago or whatever it was, and it was painful. You know, it was really dreadful, but I stuck with it, went again and did a 30K race, and then, you know, been keeping up with my speed work, and you know, you can see the dividends. So I was very happy with my race, and I didn't, you know, I never had a point in the race where it really hurt and I was really in anguish out there. So, yeah, it was a wonderful afternoon. I just be very proud.
Yeah. So you were hoping to go in under 1:28. That was your goal, right?
You're right.
And tell us your time.
Well, my time was 1:25 and a half.
Wow.
And,
so
yeah,
2.5 minutes. I mean, 1:28 is an aggressive fast time to begin with, and you were 2.5 minutes under that.
I mean, I haven't run this quickly in 4 years, you know, and I'm 44,
yeah.
So I am, you know, it's pretty neat. Now I'm at a course at a crossroads, if you will, a certain threshold that, you know, with a half marathon at that time, there's plenty of marathons coming up. And, you know, I'm debating whether or not I want to go to try to break that 3-hour threshold again in October or maybe in November, and I'm just not certain I'm ready to commit to the attendant lifestyle that requires, but it's fun to play around with the concept.
Yeah, it's nice to know you can do it.
Potentially.
So now, yeah, but now it's the question of whether you want to make that commitment and stick to the diet and the plan and the hard work.
That's the thing.
Right?
Yeah, that's the thing. But outside of that, the idea sounds great. It's just, you know. Now, what about you? How are you feeling towards Chicago?
I'm feeling great about Chicago. 1 week to go, and
you know,
it's not going to be a personal best or anything like that, but it's just going to be a great experience, and I'm very excited about that. And I know you enjoyed the Army Run not just because you had a great race, but it was a great weekend being around all those other runners. You and I got to hang out a bit and talk to other people and be part of the scene down there in downtown Ottawa, and there were so many great stories and performances, and you get to see the injured soldiers and the other men and women in uniform who are all part of a very inspiring event.
Yeah, it's just wonderful. I mean, we spend so much time making these magazines and the websites and the radio shows and everything that we do, but it's, you know, obviously our favorite bit of the process is like when we get to be out there and doing it, you know, and wear the t-shirt that people recognize and saying, oh, you know, I like that story or this or that. And it's, you know, it's part of it's like a family reunion, these races. So it's always, you know, a highlight for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, what I find amazing is the stories are limitless, right? I mean, we've been doing this podcast, I don't know, in one form or another, we've been doing this radio show and podcast now for 8 or 9 years. We've been doing the magazine for 10 years. And we just keep meeting more and more people with these amazing, inspiring stories, and they're running farther, and they're getting off the couch and running a 5K, or they're raising money for some charity, or they're overcoming some illness, or or mental illness or some other physical condition. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you know, and us to be receptors of that, and for us to be sort of, for people to want to feel comfortable sharing their story with us, and for us in this community where the runners can talk to each other, and this guy inspires her and she inspires him, and everybody's sort of pulling in the same direction. I mean, it does feel, you know, on a good day, like we're adding in sort of a net positive to the world.
Yeah. And I know you reach out from time to time and you say, okay, you know, I Run Nation, we want to hear your stories. And you get a flood of people because this is something that people care about. It's personal. They're passionate about it. So they want to share their stories. They want to be heard. And they want to communicate with other runners. That's the atmosphere you get when you go to the Race Expo as well. There's a lot of people who just want to be around other runners and hear their stories and share the experience, share that journey, right?
Yeah, that's right. And whether you're in the front of the pack or the back of the pack or wherever you lie, all of us have to do basically the same sort of thing where it's kind of like, oh, you're tired, or, you know, should I do it, should I not? But then in the end, you make the decision, you put on your shoes and you go out there and you feel something, and it's, you know, you get moved in some sort of way, and, you know, you do it again and again, and you become part of this thing bigger than yourself, and hopefully it adds something to your life.
Yeah. And the other thing I'm reminded of, and I think this applies to you when you come off a great performance like you did at the Army Run, is that there is nothing like race day, right? You've got that energy, and I don't know what
that's
it is,
right.
But you can always go faster on race day than you can in training, and you get that buzz. There's the crowds, there's the signs, there are the volunteers, the other runners, and you feed off that.
I mean, it's just such, all I keep thinking about is like, what a great hobby. I mean, I'm just so happy to have it in my life. And you're giving high five to strangers. They're giving a high five to you. Everybody speaks the same sort of language, and you're looking at the shoes on different people and things. You got your little race plan. I mean, it's a blast.
It is. And you see people at their best. That's one of the best things about this, right? This is not the lineup on Boxing Day at the, you know, or on Black Friday.
Said.
You know, this is not, it's not
rush
traffic.
Hour.
Yeah, it's not rush hour traffic. No, this is when you see people at their best. And as I've said many times before, you can go out and do your thing and achieve your goal. And I can go out and achieve my goal. And neither one is at the expense of the other. It's not like a tennis match, you know, or a squash game. We can both win on the same day, right? That's one of the best things about it.
No, it's beautiful, and it's just getting started. I mean, there's more races coming up, there's more things that we're going to be doing, and there's more, you know, more opportunities to participate and get involved.
Absolutely. We're going to share some great stories coming up on the show today. Dylan Wykes is going to be with us a little bit later, the elite runner, Olympic athlete, and a couple of stories, very inspiring stories from the Army Run as well. People who, like you, went out and did their thing last weekend. Ben, thank you. Congratulations again on that great time.
I appreciate it. Good luck in Chicago.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Looking forward to it. Ben Kaplan, iRun's general manager and editor. Coming up next, we're going to talk to a member of parliament who did the Army Run last weekend. The Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon is coming on October 21st. Your spot is still available in the 5K, half marathon, or marathon. Join thousands of other runners and race against some of the best in the world, including iRun contributors Reed Coolset and Krista Duchesne. Visit iRun at our booth at the STWM Expo and join one of the best running events in the world. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. And you can also listen to the podcast, and you can check out past editions of our show at iRun.ca. Just click on radio. Mona Fortier is the MP for Ottawa Vanier, which includes parts of downtown Ottawa. Last weekend, she was one of thousands of runners participating in the Canada Army Run. Mona, thank you for joining us on iRun Radio.
Thank you very much.
So how was the Army Run?
A great year again. I was very happy to have finished and crossed the line. I had the opportunity to run the Ortona Challenge. And compared to last year, the weather was just the perfect weather to run.
Yeah, last year was hot. I ran the half marathon and the 5K last year. I did the Commander's Challenge, and it was hot, and especially when you have a half marathon starting at 9:30 in the morning, That means, it's you're going to be out there running when it's 11 o'clock, unless you're super fast. And so this was better. It was a cool day. It was a sunny day. It was really quite beautiful.
And everybody were really in the mood to run. You could see everybody really pushing and trying to do their best and cheering on the troops that were there, too. I thought it was a great organization this year. And, you know, we know that we had a disaster in the west end of the city, and everybody was supporting each other on that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a real spirit of camaraderie, as there always is. What is it that you think makes the Army Run so special?
I think you just said it, camaraderie. I think everybody realizes how much our troops are there for us to serve our country, and we have to give back and share that moment with them. I had the pleasure of meeting some of the veterans, and they were sharing their stories, and I think that keeps it alive, to remind ourselves that it's so important to not only to fundraise to help the families and the troops, but also to be together, to recognize the hard work they do.
Absolutely. And what did you see when you were running? Because I know that's part of it, that when people come to this event and they run, they see men and women in uniform, they see the support of the crowds, they see injured and ill soldiers who are participating. So tell me some of the stories that you witnessed.
Well, the one that marked me the most, and it did last year, but more this year, when you run on the canal part and there are pictures of veterans who gave their life to our country, and you see all those names, and it really got to me to thank them in my mind, of course, while I was running, but just to recognize that we have such a long past and a future, bright future. You can see all of the ones that participate. So for me, that was something that got to me this year.
Yeah. Let's talk a little more about you as a runner. When did you get into running, and when do you find time to do it?
Well, I'm proud to say that I'm an ex-smoker, and the way I chose to change that was to start running 6 years ago. And I've been running for fun, of course, since 6 years. My husband showed me how to run and to get organized. And since then, I've been my best time was for a half marathon 4 years ago at the Army Run. So I enjoy it. It gives me a chance to think, because we don't have much time to think in the busy lives that we have. So running is for me a space where I can focus on what's going to happen during my day, and at the same time to keep fit.
All right. And was it a struggle for you to give up smoking and take up running?
Not that time. I had tried a couple of times and haven't found the recipe, and I found it worth running. So changing the fact that for me, running is in the morning. I start very early. So I had to go to bed early to be able to be ready. It changed my whole routine, and it was the best outcome, and very proud to be able to still run. And I even integrated swimming and biking. So I'm hoping to maybe have a first triathlon next
year. Okay. All right. Good for you. And so you run early in the morning. And at this time of year, I run early in the morning as well. It's pretty dark when you're
it's
out there, right?
Pretty dark.
Yeah.
Yes. And I have a great run. I do 5Ks during the week. And I'm close to the National Research Council. And that space is great because there's security and lighting. So I know that I'm safe to run early in the morning when it's dark.
Yeah, you really get to see the changing of the days when you run at that time of the morning, because in the summer, you go out early and there's still, there's lots of daylight. The sun has already risen, and then gradually it encroaches on your time until eventually you're running completely in the dark, right?
Yeah, and the challenge is the clothing. I never know what to wear to start with, because I know that after 10 minutes, I'll be, ready to take a couple of clothes off, because I'm too hot. So I find it a little bit tricky. This summer was very hot, so that wasn't a problem. But I find this time of year, the temperature changes quite dramatically in the morning.
Now, you've participated in quite a few events since you've taken up running, haven't you? You've done events at Ottawa Race Weekend. You've done some events in Montreal as well.
No, actually, I haven't tried Montreal yet, but I have gone to, my favorite one was in Paris. There's a run for women, and I met up with a friend who worked at the embassy, and we ran a 10K together in Paris with our Canada shirts. So we had a lot of fun with that.
Okay. It's not Montreal I was thinking of. It's Mont Tremblant, I think you went to, right?
Mont Tremblant. Yes, exactly. So I had a cottage there before, and I started my first run was the 5K, and then I did the 10K for a couple of years.
Yeah. And you've participated in Ottawa Race Weekend, of course.
Oh, yes. I endured one time when it was raining a lot for a half marathon. It was quite the story. I couldn't believe how much there was rain that day. But we all realized that it's just weather. We have to keep running.
Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing is once you get moving, you don't think about it anymore, right?
Yeah. And,
unless it's absolutely pouring.
Exactly. And the fact that with the kind of job that I have where I move a lot, it's easy to bring sneakers and, you know, some good clothing and then go run where you are. I ran in Saskatoon a couple of weeks ago when we had our caucus, or when we were in Halifax, we ran another 5K. So it's great that we have so much to see when we travel.
Yeah. And what's the most interesting place you've run, would you say?
Honestly, I would say Puerto Vallarta. I had the great run by the sea, and I didn't have sneakers on. I chose to run bare feet.
Ah.
So it was quite the experience, and I did a 10K just on the side of the ocean. It was amazing.
So running on the beach in your bare feet?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
That was one of the best. And even, I have to tell you, there was a whale at some point that came up, and it was just a great feeling to see that there was nature and even whales part of the run.
That's amazing. That sounds like a very memorable run. So
yes, it was.
You mentioned earlier that this is kind of your time to think and your time to be alone, because being a member of parliament, of course, is a demanding job. Your schedule is full. There are lots of events you have to be at, meetings you have to attend. So is this kind of your outlet, your opportunity to be a little bit freed from that?
Yes, exactly. And also to reflect on, sometimes you need to find the solutions or scenarios that you want to change a bit. And I find that when I run, I have that space to think and to be in my own bubble, because I don't need to talk to anybody. I'm really thinking on what either the problem is and which solution I'm going to find for that specific issue or
concern. Because it's time to where you can actually think and you're not under pressure, right? So then sometimes the solution emerges in a way that it would not if you're sitting at your desk.
Exactly. And sometimes I just need to run for fun, so I put on music and I sing really loud. So it can be both. It can be just to let out the steam and have a chance to, you know, do some good athletic sport, and then at the same time have a chance to relax.
Yeah. And are there other events that you hope to do in the future?
Well, I'm having a hard time with my heels lately, so I know that the most I should do are 10Ks. So I will be looking around to see if there are interesting new races that I can join. And it keeps me going if I have something booked, so that I continue to train and not just decide not to do anything. So I'm going to try to identify. It could be the Cumberland one. I know there's one in the fall, which is great.
Yep.
Actually, I believe it's this weekend. And there's another one in Toronto that I'm hoping maybe to sign up when I go end of October. So I try to, when I travel, I try to identify if there's a race going on, or I just plan one.
Right. Just do one on your own, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right on. Well, congratulations on a great result in the Ortona Challenge at the Canada Army Run. And you participated in that event several times before, and I'm sure you will again. For a lot of people, it's kind of automatic that they sign up for that one every fall in Ottawa, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And it's a great one to go to if ever someone hasn't had the chance to live that event, because it's more than just running. It's really the camaraderie, the fact that we can see each other supporting our troops.
Yeah, it really is unique and special. Mona Fortier, thank you very much for joining us on iRun Radio.
Thank you for the invitation. Have a great day.
That's Ottawa area MP Mona Fortier, who was one of thousands in last week's Army Run. Coming up, a cancer survivor completes his first half marathon. The Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon is coming on October 21st. Your spot is still available in the 5K, half marathon, or marathon. Join thousands of other runners and race against some of the best in the world, including iRun contributors Reed Coolset and Krista Duchesne. Visit iRun at our booth at the STWM Expo and join one of the best running events in the world. Andrew Boyle is a colleague of mine at 1310 News here in Ottawa. Last year, he was diagnosed with cancer in his throat. And after undergoing successful treatment, Andrew started running again. He eventually worked his way up to longer distances. It was very inspiring to watch. And last weekend at the Army Run, Andrew completed his first half marathon. Andrew, great to have you on iRun Radio. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So we should talk a little bit about your story, and it's been great observing you running and running further each time we talk. I've been really proud of you, and you've shared your stories with me when we've come back to work on Monday mornings in the newsroom, this has been, frankly, I mean, to be clear about this, this has been part of your recovery from cancer, right?
Yeah, it didn't initially start off that way. It was something that I've always been a cyclist. I've loved riding my bike for years and years.
And you ride your bike to work really early in the morning.
I do.
When the weather's okay.
I do. Yeah. And when the weather's okay is a very good point there. But I always thought I was in shape. And because I cycle, it's like a swimmer. You think, well, I swim. That's exercising a lot of your body. You're in good physical shape and aerobic shape and everything. And one day I just decided to go for a run. And I don't think I made it 200 meters before I had to stop. And I was completely out of breath and my legs were killing me. And I thought, well, this is ridiculous. So I'm going to start running.
Yeah. Oh, so you weren't thinking, this is ridiculous, I'm never going to run again.
No, I thought for someone who thought he was in shape, he's really not. So I better do something about this. So I just started just casually running around my neighborhood and in my Walmart $15 sneakers and stuff, and realized pain like I've never felt before. So invested in some good shoes and just started building slowly up the stamina. And then late last year and into the start of this year, going through cancer treatment, which is now gone, thankfully, I was so, everything just collapses on you. You lose your muscle mass, you lose energy, you lose everything. So I thought, I'm really going to concentrate on running this year. And I saw the Canada Army Run come up and I thought, if I can take a small step, if you will, I'd already done a 10K last year, and I thought, I'm going to try a half marathon.
All right, and we'll get to that in a moment, and your experience in the Canada Army mm-hmm. Run, but what was it like trying to get back in shape after you had been so depleted after your cancer treatment?
It was very difficult, and I only had 35 radiation treatments. I mean, there are people who go through a lot more than that, not only radiation, but chemotherapy and other therapies that really just sap all your strength, and you do lose muscle mass and everything. So I came to you at one point, and I said, I can't get past 3K. I think it was 3 or 4. I would just completely lose energy and have to walk the rest of the way because I just couldn't run anymore. And I think you said you gave me something like you're worrying about the distance too much. Just set a goal of time. Just tell yourself you're going to go run for 20 minutes and then maybe boost it to 25 or something. And I thought, okay, I'll try that. And just went out, and all of a sudden I stopped one day, looked at my little counter on my wrist, and I'd gone 8K, and I thought,
wow,
I guess I got over that hurdle.
Yeah. Well, and you were probably gaining strength too, right?
Absolutely.
And you were recovering and getting your energy back and that kind of thing, because you went through quite an ordeal. I mean, you were basically at home or in treatment for, what, 3 months, right?
Yeah, it was close to 4 months, I think it takes a lot more out of you than you think it does. You finish a treatment, and the treatments themselves are not bad. You don't even notice anything is going on, but the cumulative effect is draining, and it ends up burning your skin. And in my case, it was cancer in my throat, so I had the inside of my mouth and throat burned as well, so even to take a breath, it dries out your mouth. You don't get your saliva back. You don't get your taste buds back. It's just not a comfortable thing to go through. So you end up, you're right, sitting around at home waiting to get up and go for your next treatment.
Yeah. And not eating normally necessarily, right? Especially because it affected your mouth and
all liquid diets. So the Boost or the Ensures or the Carnation Instant Breakfast or milkshakes or anything where you try to and add some protein powder and all that kind of stuff. So no solids whatsoever. So
yeah,
that wasn't very much fun either.
Yeah, no kidding. And but you handled it so well, and I know all of us here felt very both supportive of you and inspired by you because of how you went through it. And what I found amazing was whenever you popped by or we got to see you, or even afterwards when you came back to work, you didn't look any different. It didn't look like you'd been through this incredible ordeal. So you wore it well.
Well, it was quite a weight loss. I dropped about 30 pounds down to my high school weight, actually. Well, about 3 pounds over my high school weight, which was fairly remarkable for someone approaching 60.
Well, good for you that you've recovered from that. And it is so far so good in terms of the checkups you've had. And it's mostly, I mean, as far as you know, it's all in the past, right?
That's right. And it's quite a few months, if not years, before they declare you fully.
Yeah.
But everything I've gone through so far, I'm down to just, I think it's 3 visits a year with the oncologist, a couple of visits a year with a specialist dentist who looks after people who've gone through cancer treatment, because where mine was in the throat, the radiation can really affect your teeth. And if you don't take special care of them, and you and I are both have some British heritage in us and we're renowned for our British teeth at times. And mine, I'm particularly worried about. So, but the cancer dentist has been incredibly supportive and everything looks good right now.
Okay,
so
good.
Just fingers crossed and just keep going forward.
Yeah. And so you talked about getting to 8K.
Yeah.
That's a long way from 21.1K.
Yeah.
And I know there were some other thresholds, because I remember talking to you about you wanted to get past 10K, right? Mm. That was kind of the next milestone for you, the next hurdle.
I think when people take up running there, I think, and this is me, I'm not sure if everyone is like this, but you're sort of fixated on distances. And so I got something in my mind that a couple of years ago, I wanted to do a 10K and did it and then kind of stopped because I'd achieved my goal. And this time around, when I got back up to 10K, I thought, that's not my goal. Maybe a half marathon is my goal. I didn't have one in mind, but I said, so I got a little training manual and looked at what they recommended you do if you're going to train for a half marathon. And I said, well, I've almost followed that the way it stands now. In fact, 3 days later, I think it was a Sunday where I was supposed to run 15K. And I thought, I'm going to try it and just follow the schedule from then on till the Canada Army run. And that's what I did.
And it went okay, obviously, and you were able to build your mileage, and so that brings you to the start line of the Canada Army Run. Tell us about the experience.
Well, it really was fascinating because I'd never done anything like this before with a mass start. I mean, thousands of people are taking part in this, and they ask how long do you think it's going to take you, so they can put you in a certain position on the start line, so you're not blocking people who do run faster. And I had no idea. I had no idea how fast I would be. So I put a time down. They put me right at the back. So we slowly made our way up to the start line. They let us go. And I almost felt guilty passing a couple of people early. But I think it was you told me that you're going to set a pace that you're comfortable with and just go with that. So I turned some music on, put in the earbuds, and did the pace that I had done during training runs, and found that near the end I had a lot more energy. So I did manage to sprint the last about 100, 150 meters, I think, which brought in a really decent time that I was very happy with. And the fact that I did it in that time, I know I could actually do it a little bit faster if I do a second half marathon.
Right. Wow. And I remember talking to you about that because you were sort of asking, well, you know, how fast could I go in a half marathon? And and I was saying the energy on that day is going to be different, and you're going to feel, you know, you're going to feel a little stronger, and it's amazing, you know, what you can do in training doesn't necessarily foretell what you're going to do on race day. You can go a little bit faster usually on race day.
Feeding off the other runners, first of all, and seeing someone who's going at a pace that you felt comfortable with, so you kind of get on their heels and follow them for a bit. And every couple of meters, there was another little cheering section. Hey, Johnny. Hey, Beth. This is fantastic. Go for it. And I even had a little cheering section about 5K into the race, which just provides you with such a tremendous energy boost. It was not only from the people cheering for others, because they're cheering everyone as they go by, but then your own little group of a half dozen or so cheering you on. It was just remarkable.
So what did it feel like to cross the finish line, and what did it mean to you to achieve this result, given everything you've been through in the last year?
It felt personal satisfaction that I was able to do it, and I'm now contemplating signing up for the Ottawa Marathon. I don't know if I've got to look up the training regimen for what it takes to go from a half to a full, and if there's enough time between now and the end of May to actually train enough to do that, because I mean, I already have a goal in mind if I ever ran a marathon, what the time would be. I'll make that decision in the next week or 2 weeks and see. But I can actually walk. The second day after, I thought, oh, I'm not even going to be able to put one foot in front of the other. But it wasn't that bad. So I owe that to the training, I think, that I did.
But this is a big milestone for you after the ordeal you've been through in the past 12 months, right?
I didn't really look at it that way, because I'd taken up running beforehand, and it was this is just another way I continue to cycle. I continue to do other forms of exercise, play some tennis and stuff. So this was, yes, it was part of it, and this goal was to see if I could do it at almost 60. Can I run a half marathon? And when I finished in 2:07, to be honest with you, I went and looked up other people in my category, and I think the winner in my category was like an hour 37 or something, just blazing speed through the... It's how do you go that fast?
There's always somebody going super fast, but that's still a really good time.
It was, I'm very happy with that. I didn't think I'd be able to do it, and I did, so I've accomplished across another item off the bucket list.
Yeah, you should be very proud.
I am.
Congratulations.
Indeed. Thank you.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
Andrew Boyle, who is my colleague here at 1310 News in Ottawa. Coming up next, elite runner, Olympic marathoner, and coach Dylan Wykes. The Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon is coming on October 21st. Your spot is still available in the 5K, half marathon, or marathon. Join thousands of other runners and race against some of the best in the world, including iRun contributors Reed Coolset and Krista Duchesne. Visit iRun at our booth at the STWM Expo and join one of the best running events in the world. Dylan Wykes ran for Canada in the Olympic Marathon in 2012 in London. He's now a running coach, and he's going to share some advice with us today. Dylan, great to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
So how's your running been going these days?
My running's going pretty good. You know, I've got this first one to go, but I'm still managing to get out there 5 or 6 times a week. And I'm going to line up for a little race out here in Vancouver on Saturday. We'll see how that goes. It'll be fun.
Okay, good stuff. And, of course, you are also coaching a number of different clients now. And how are you finding that experience for you to kind of share your passion for running and your experience with it with others?
Yeah, exactly as you kind of mentioned, Miles to Marathon, my coaching is came about just because of the, you know, I realized I had this passion and knowledge for the sport that I could kind of impart on other people. So it's been really exciting, and everyone's getting kind of tuned up for big fall goal races are on the horizon now.
Yeah, and mile to marathon. Let's talk about that for a second, because obviously that means you're catering to a wide range of clients, and you're in some cases taking them from running shorter distances to eventually running longer ones.
Exactly, yeah, and I've joked with a few clients now that we've started coaching a few people to do ultras that we might have to change the name, but yeah, it was just kind of the idea of appealing to people. You know, you didn't have to already be a marathon runner to get coaching, and you could kind of work towards those goals, and also that it's, you know, if your goal is just to run a faster mile, then you know, we can coach you for that too. So we didn't want to pigeonhole ourselves or the idea of what we could offer.
Yeah, mile to ultra marathon though doesn't have the same alliterative ring to it. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So I think the other thing that's important is that, you know, sometimes if you've never had a coach and you've just done running on your own, you think, well, coaches are only if you're trying to do a sub 3 hour marathon or you're trying to win the race or something like that. What would I have to learn? Not that we all couldn't learn from somebody who's an elite runner like you, but what would I have in common with someone like you? But it's not like that, right? It's everybody stands to learn something. Everybody's trying to improve a bit. And there's good value to having a coach and being focused on your performance and having a program to follow, even if you're not trying to go super fast.
Totally. And it depends on the individual, but you know, for some people, it might just be an accountability thing. That they need that extra little push, and for other people, they might be, you know, just stalled out in what they're doing. But you know, the coaching thing, the biggest thing is when, you know, everyone can get a cookie cutter plan, but when things go a little bit wrong and you have to deviate from that plan, it's like, what do you do? And that's where a coach can come most in handy and be most valuable to people to kind of be able to maintain that consistency. And when the consistency is the biggest thing for anyone in endurance sport to improve.
Yeah, and one of the things I like about it when I've worked with coaches is that you leave the decisions to somebody else and you just go out and run.
Exactly. It's just there on the schedule. You don't have to think twice about it. You just go out and hopefully execute the workout and leave the thinking to the coach.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what some of your clients are preparing for this fall and what kind of advice you're giving them on how to prepare for the fall races, because they're upon us now.
Yeah. Fall races are coming up. We've got a lot of people that are in our group in Vancouver that are running the Victoria Full Marathon that's Thanksgiving weekend. And then we've got a good contingent that will be in Toronto for the Waterfront Marathon. And for those people now, it's, you know, a lot of it is in the biggest weeks of training, and it's just not panicking, knowing that the training right now is at its peak, and you just have to take care of the little things like rest and sleep and eating well to make sure that you can execute the training. You know, if you've been building up properly to now, to your peak training, things should be able to go smoothly. You know, and then as you get the next couple of weeks, you get into stuff with the taper. Tapering is always a difficult thing for people to wrap their heads around sometimes. So that's always a challenge. But that's what we're here for, is to help people get through those.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to convince yourself that running less is of benefit to you when you're preparing for a big event, right?
Oh, totally, yeah. It's really difficult for people to kind of wrap their heads around that, and they start worrying about, you know, losing the fitness that they've gained and stuff like that. But you have to trust that it's going to help you be the best you can be on that start line on race day.
Yeah, and what I always try to tell people is, in the final couple of weeks, there are lots of things you can do to hurt your performance on race day, but there are very few things left you can do to help your performance on race day. So don't go out and think that some magic run that you do is going to make you suddenly get faster in the next couple of weeks. It's really about rest and that kind of preparation rather than some training run that's going to be the difference between you getting your goal or not getting it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no magic bullets. There's no
one workout in those last 2 weeks or so that's really gonna make you have a better race. It's everything you've done in the 10 or 12 weeks leading up to that that is gonna be the determining factor. And, you know, like a lot of times people just start to worry too much and they start to think about things too much. And you probably wouldn't think about things that much leading up to, you know, a hard long run in the middle of a training cycle. So I always try and remind people of that it's, you don't have to blow the race out of proportion in terms of what it means. Just kind of continue your good routines and good training. You'll get to the start line ready.
All right. Now, you are a dad now. You have a family, and
yeah.
That's a big development in your life, obviously. Tell me how that's changed things for you and how it's changed how you run and when you can run and all of those kinds of things.
For sure, yeah. We've got two little ones. They're 2 and 4 now, or almost 4. And, it's just kind of another element to life. You know, when I was training full-time and running at a really elite level, that was kind of the only thing I had to worry about a lot of days was getting in my training, whereas now you've got these great little humans that are dependent on you. So there's more going on, and I've definitely got more responsibilities. So my running is not the focus, but that's okay. I'm still able to squeeze it in. I still have quite a flexible schedule, and I can get in an hour here and there every day, and it's still obviously a big part of life.
Yeah, when you have kids, it can't be all about you anymore, like it can be and has to be when you're training for the Olympics, for example, right?
Exactly. I always say it's like to be a really successful, marathon runner at that kind of Olympic level, you have to be pretty selfish, and being a parent, you can't have that same level of commitment to something that's just all about you. So it's all good though.
Yeah. Have you done any running with one of your kids or both of them in a stroller? Have you done any of that?
Yeah. We've done I've done the stroller thing with both. Our second was better than our first in terms of being able to stay in there for longer. I think I've done up to about 16K with our youngest in the stroller, but I haven't ventured any farther than that. I know there's people that do them in races and they've got them in the marathon, but I always see that. I'm like, oh, that's impressive. But the craziest thing to me is how they got their kid to stay in the stroller for 3 hours.
Exactly. Yeah, you see other people doing it and you think, okay, when I'm going to be a dad, I'm going to do that too. I'll push the kid in the stroller. But it's not just up to you, is it? It's up to the child as well in a big way.
It's definitely dependent on what the child is going to do for you on that day, whether they're going to cooperate or not.
Yeah. Well, Dylan, it's great to talk to you again, and great to hear you're doing so well and enjoying the coaching business. I'm sure you're helping your clients a great deal. Really appreciate you joining us on the show, and good luck with your own running, and good luck to all of your clients this fall.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
That is Canadian Olympian, elite runner, and coach, Dylan Wykes. Coming up in the weeks ahead on iRun Radio, one of the many runners who competed in the Berlin Marathon a couple of weeks ago, and a runner who recently raced in Antarctica. I hope you can be with us for the next edition of iRun Radio. Thank you for joining us this week. Have a great week.